We're happy to have Dan and Katie Holcomb. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to Rebecca Moore. And Rebecca has been ministering to our children for many years now, more on a part-time basis. And we appreciate all that she's done and the work with the different children's programs. And yet we've seen, as we've grown, a need to really bring a pastor on staff. And so Dan and Katie are looking at coming on full-time. They would be in a full-time position here at Brookside to work with our children, to work with our children's workers and leaders. And so he would be over everything from kindergarten nursery to sixth grade. And we are having opportunities to get to know them this week. His resume is there in the back. Along with ministries that he's been involved in, and so his doctrinal statement is there, and so you can stop and pick that up. And tonight you're going to get to hear him speak and to preach to us. And then after the service, we'll have about a five-minute break and ask our members if you would stay and have a time of question and answers with Dan and Katie. You'll get to hear their testimonies. And so, Dan, we're very glad to have you and your family here. And so you come and just lay on us what God's been laying on your heart. All right?
Thank you. Thank you, buddy. It's an honor and a privilege, really, to be here tonight and to be able to share God's word with you. And we're excited about what God's doing in our life and seeing what he's going to lead for us and also for the ministry here. So if you have your Bibles, if you go ahead and open to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 17, and this passage is something that the Lord's really used in my life, especially over the last few years, to help me to take a look and to take stock and to see if I'm being the type of Christian God wants me to be. God has great expectations for us as his children. And that's what we're going to focus on tonight. Starting in verse 1, Christ says to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them together, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this evening, we ask that you would add your blessing to your word. We ask that you would help us to block out all the distractions and just open our hearts and our minds and plant your word deep within us. Lord, I ask that you would help me to say only those things you would have me to say, nothing less, nothing more, and that you would be high and lifted up and glorified in all that's said and done tonight. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. So before we get into this, this is a long passage, so we're not going to be exhaustive on it tonight. That would take way too long. It could take weeks to get through a passage like this. But I want to set a little bit of perspective for you. We're in that same night where the disciples just finished up the meal with Christ. This meal started out, this setting that we're getting kind of in the middle of here is a setting where Christ is listening to his disciples argue and talk. I'm going to be the greatest, you're going to be the greatest. And quietly, the God of the universe stands up, takes a towel and starts to wash their feet. Task that was reserved not even for the Jewish slaves, but for the lowest of the slaves in the household, the Gentile slaves. If there was Gentile slaves there, they were the one required to wash the feet. And here Christ is, the Lord of the universe, washing the feet of those he created. And so we frame that in this picture, and he tells them to do this to each other, serve each other. And then as we look at this, they've actually left. If you look at verse 31 of chapter 14, the very end, it says, "Even so I do." It says, "Arise, let us go hence." So picture this. They're leaving the room. They're walking towards the garden. And Christ pulls in a visual that, one, they're familiar with as part of the Jewish culture. But something that he does throughout his whole ministry, he takes those things around us and around the disciples, and he uses it to teach them a lesson. The vine is something that the Jews were very familiar with. It's something used throughout the history as a picture of Israel, and we'll see that later on. But he goes to them and he says, "I am the true vine. I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." And that's the first thing I want us to focus on briefly this evening. Are you truly in Christ? Are you truly in Christ? Just because you've grown up in church or your parents are saved, that does not make you in Christ. It's been said before, and I'm sure you've heard it, and it's so true. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. And we don't get to heaven by osmosis, just by being in contact with those who are in church. So are you truly connected to the vine? I grew up in church, and that was part of my testimony, and I'll just say a little bit of it. And I didn't get saved until I was 16 years old. But I had grown up in church. And it wasn't until I was 16 where I really professed and gave my life to Christ. So that's the first key. Are you truly connected, or are you trying to look like you're connected? Are you trying to tie yourself onto something that looks good, sounds good, seems to be right, all the while you're not part of the family of God? And if that's you tonight, don't leave here tonight without knowing that for sure. That is the most important aspect in your life for tonight. But as we look at this, we see that those that are truly attached to Christ are going to do something. Every branch that beareth fruit, and we'll just stop right there. You're either going to be a fruit bearer or you're not in Christ. There's really no other way around it. If you're truly in Christ, you're going to bear fruit. There's going to be evidences in your life. You heard some of them this morning, the fruits of the Spirit. There's going to be things in your life that you can point to and that others can point to and say, "Yes, I can see, from what I can see, they're in Christ. I think the scariest verse in all of Scripture is the one where Christ tells them that there's going to be a day when people say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not do this and do this and do that? And he's going to say to them, depart from me, for I never knew you. That's the scariest verse in the Bible to me. Because I want to be somebody that's bearing fruit. I want to be in Christ. And so if we're asking ourselves questions, and you can stop and you can take inventory of your life, has there been those moments in our life where you've produced fruit? Now, that's not always going to be every day, right? Every day we have our ups and downs. But as we look at this, the first question we want to look at, are you truly a branch? Are you in Christ or aren't you? But then as we go past that, Christ gets more specific. He says you're going to bear fruit, but what are you going to do? You're going to bear more fruit, but there's only one way to do that. Are you depending on the true vine for your fruit? Are you really connected to him? Let's look at verse 6. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast out from the branch and is void. But if you look at 9 through 13, he describes those that are going to abide in him. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so I loved you. Continue ye in my, what's that word? Didn't hear anybody. Love, right? Continue ye in my love. We've allowed the world, as we heard this morning, to hijack that word. We've allowed them to take that out and say, oh, we've got to be so careful when we talk about love. But Christ says, you're going to abide in love. And Christ didn't only decree and demand that we abide in love. He demonstrated it throughout his whole ministry, didn't he? And you think back to different aspects of the ministry that Christ was involved with and how many times his disciples are probably scratching their head going, what is he doing? First of all, we got to go through Samaria, and now he's actually talking to a Samaritan woman. What's going on here? But he demonstrates this love to all people. And as we go through this, he says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Do you love him? Is your life centered around your love for Christ? If it is, we're going to be able to see that with your love for others, your love for the gospel, your desire to see people come to know Christ, your desire to help each other. There's a difference between saying, hey, how's it going, and acting nice, and actually loving each other, right? I was talking to somebody the other day, the two biggest lies ever told in church, I'll be praying for you, and from the pulpit in closing. But as we look at that, as we look at what Christ does for us, as we look at how he demonstrates his love for us, he says, if you love me, if you're truly in me, you're going to love each other. Because we understand that, guess what? Without him, we can't do anything. Philippians tells us we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us, right? Well, the opposite's true. If we aren't in him, verse 5, I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. What do you depend on a daily basis? Do you depend on your intellect? Do you depend on your people skills? Do you depend on your education? What do you depend on in your life? Christ says, without me, you can't do anything. It's going to be fruitless. It's not going to work. And the Lord has taught me that in my life time and time again. if I'm depending on my own strength, I'm going to fall. But he says, if you are abiding in me, you're going to produce fruit. When's the last time you walked by an apple tree and actually heard it audibly groaning to try to produce fruit? Hopefully never. If you come across that tree, I would run quickly. It's a weird tree. It happens. Why? Because it's connected to what it needs to be connected to. And it's got life. And that's how we are as Christians. If we're connected to that vine, if we try to go outside of Christ and say we just throw a branch here and we say grow, nothing's going to happen. But if we're connected to that vine and if we're connected to Christ and we're abiding in him and we're doing what he tells us to do and we're loving him, he says you're going to not only bear fruit, you're going to bear more fruit. There's a progression in our lives that as we get grounded in Christ, whether you're newly saved or you've been saved for 15 years or 20 years, there's a progression in our lives in which we begin to produce fruit, and those fruits will change as we go. We'll see different things. God may use you in somebody's life to bring them to Christ, and that's an unbelievable experience. To understand that God might use us in the life of somebody else to bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ. That should fire us up, that we could be used in that way. And that's bearing fruit. The fruits of the Spirit will bear fruit. He'll prune us. I don't know how many of you have ever pruned things. I'm not a pruner, but I know that pruning shears are really sharp, and sometimes it may not always feel good. But he cuts that dead stuff out of our life so that we can be connected with him, and then we can produce the fruit that he wants. Then we will bear more fruit. If you look at verse 2, he says we're going to bear fruit. Then we're going to bear more fruit. And then down here, we see that we're going to bear much fruit in verse 5. It's going to be abundance. It's just going to start coming out of us. It's going to overflow based on our relationship with Christ. But then we get to this last point. There's a lot of talk these days about something called legacy, right? You hear the talk in sports all the time about what's this guy's legacy going to be? What's this guy's legacy? What kind of legacy are you leaving? Christ's desire for his disciples was to love each other, was to bear fruit, to be abiding in him, connected to him, and to have fruit, more fruit, much fruit. But then let's look at this. In verse 16, halfway down, he says, "And that your fruit should remain." That's legacy. Christ, on his earthly kingdom, or in his earthly ministry, he had 11 guys that he had 12 that he spent his life with. And we know one betrayed him, but he had 11 people, and he is going to leave them behind with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is his human legacy, if you will. They would go out, and the Bible tells us that they would turn the world upside down for Christ. I think of the legacy of Stephen. When he was stoned and martyred, what did that do? That served to push the church out of Jerusalem, right? And who was there? Saul. And just think about this and make this connection. I heard a pastor make this connection. I had never made it before. Comprehend that part of Stephen's fruit was the conversion and the missionary, or was the missionary trips of the Apostle Paul. Stephen's death, overseen by Saul, served to start the church, which would later send him out on the missionary journeys. That's part of Stephen's legacy. What's your legacy going to be? What kind of fruit are you producing? Turn to Isaiah chapter 5 real quick. I want to read through Isaiah chapter 5, because this goes back to that idea that they understood what the vineyard was. And here in Isaiah chapter 5, we find out what the legacy of Israel was at that time. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song, my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes. And here's what it did. And it brought forth wild grapes. Didn't do what it was intended to do. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it to waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up bears and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. And we'll stop there. I don't know about you. I don't want that to be my legacy. Israel had an opportunity. It says, what more could he have done? So I have to ask myself, what more could he have done in my life than what he's already done? He sent Christ to die on the cross to save me. He's put everything we need right here in his word. And what am I going to do with it? What kind of legacy am I going to leave? If you have children here, that's part of your vineyard. If you have coworkers, that's part of where you've been placed to try to produce fruit. I heard it said this way: how do you know if God is working in the life of a coworker? And the response was, if you're there in their midst, that's proof enough. Because that's our responsibility. God has us there to affect change in his power. So what is your legacy going to be? Are you going to have fruit that remains? Are you connected to the vine? Is that where you're drawing your strength from? And it's not always easy, is it? Sometimes it's a struggle. And I think sometimes we think, okay, I'm saved. This is great. I love it. Now I can just sit back and let God do whatever he wants to do in my life, and I can sit here and not really do anything. And it's just going to happen. Turn to 2 Peter 5:8. I almost said in closing, but then I thought that would be hypocritical. I want to read verse 5 as Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. He says, and beside this, and it goes through what God has done for us, how he, in verse 3, he gave us everything we need in his word. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. And he's getting ready to tell us to add all of these things on top of each other, to build on top of this. But the word here, it says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. That word diligence, you can translate to effort. Giving all effort. There is an effort that is involved in this Christian walk, that has to come from us. We don't depend on our own power. It's our efforts with God's power. God doesn't promise to just drop people in your lap to share the gospel with. He prepares people, but we have to go. We have to preach. We have to teach. We have to proclaim that gospel to people. And we have to do it on every level of the church. Here corporately, all of this legacy can apply to us individually. It can apply to us as a family unit as you leave here, and it can apply to us corporately as a body of Christ. Are you individually producing fruit? What about within your family? Are you producing fruit? And if you are, what kind of fruit is it? And then are we as a church, are you as a church, within everything that we do, is there fruit? Why does Peter say this? He says later on, and you can look through it, it says, I tell you to do these things so that you don't become unfruitful. And that's got to be our desire. We have to look at what God has done, his expectations for us set forth. And remember, this is his last chance with his disciples in that human aspect. In closing, as you think about that, I look at this, and we never want to say this word is more important than that, but have you ever been around somebody when you know they're getting ready to pass into eternity? And they gather the fact, I remember this, my wife told me about when her grandpa was getting ready to pass away, and he was a pastor for years. He gathered his family together and basically preached one more message to him. It was his last words. It was the last thing that he was going to say to them. Now, we understand that Christ is going to be raised and he's going to teach them even afterwards and speak with them. But as you look at this and frame this in here, he said, this is important. This is my last time on this human level where I am still fully human in this before I rise from the dead. Produce fruit. Love each other. Abide in me, and this will be a natural outworking. Are you going to produce wild grapes? Or are you going to produce a fruit that remains, that gives a legacy, not of you, but of Christ working through you? And then you can look back on your life and say, look at what God did. He allowed me to produce much fruit. And it's remaining. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you again tonight, thank you for the privilege and opportunity that it is to open your word. Lord, I'd ask that you would continue to use this in my life. I ask that you continue to be with the events of this evening, that you would be honored and glorified. Lord, we can't do this on our own. We desperately need you. We desperately want to see your gospel take root in the lives of the people who we are exposed to on a regular basis. So we ask that we would be connected to you and that you would use us in that manner so that we can look back and not glory in what we've done, but glory in what you have done. We ask all these things in Christ's name.